I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. If you have your Bible open there in 2 Kings chapter 5. My mother always was just a little thing, very little. I've seen pictures of her when she was just a little girl. She never grew taller than 4 feet 11 inches and never weighed more than 100 pounds. When she was 11 years old, she had to leave home because of some abusive things in the home that were, well, we may say unmentionable at this time. But she had to leave home on her own from age 11. When she was 17, she met the man who was to become my father. He was more than 20 years older than her. He was past 40 when they married, and she was about 18. 2 years after they married, they had their first of 4 children. The marriage didn't last. It was always a struggle. I remember as a boy going from place to place, trying to find my place, where I was supposed to be. I remember attending 2 schools in the first grade, and the total of those 2 school attendance times was 6 weeks. But we had something. We had love. A lot of misunderstanding, a lot of trouble. But I knew my mother loved me. My brother came along 13 months after I was born, then 2 sisters after that. And when things got especially rough and my mother and father decided they couldn't live together any longer, I thought that's the end of the world for me. Not long after that, my father died. And if someone said to me, "What can you remember?" I remember good things, very good things. But most importantly, I remember my mother saying to me time and time again, "God has something special for your life. Don't forget that. God has something special for your life." As a matter of fact, she said it to me so often that I began to believe it, that God had something special for my life. I remember being embarrassed because my mother couldn't drive. We didn't have a car. We walked everywhere we went. And other people had cars, and they drove everywhere they went. But she would say from time to time, "Don't get discouraged. God has something special for your life." And I think if we can have a youth congress like this, and I could get the message across to any young person, maybe just one of you, where you would really believe that God has something special for your life and He desires to use you. No matter who you are, what you've come from, how discouraged you get, what your family makeup happens to be. Chances are today they say if you get married in America, half of you are going to get divorced. I hope that's not true. You don't turn out to be one of those statistics. And half of those divorces, marriage and divorce, 85% of the people who get one, we're living in a day when that's initiated by a woman. Think of that. Initiated by a woman. There are thousands of children who disappear every year in America. More than 1,000 a day go missing. The overwhelming majority of them are taken by family members, but many of them are not. And some of them are never found again. This is a story in 2 Kings chapter 5 about a girl who went missing. All the while her parents had no idea where she was. But God knew exactly where she was and what He was doing with her life. And I want you to keep that in mind when things don't turn out the way you want them to turn out. Everything hasn't gone according to your plans. My mother and I counted up once before she died that we lived in 19 different places before I was 9 years old. Imagine that. God knew where we were at every juncture. We were never out of His sight. He was always looking out after us. Let me read a bit of this story if you'll follow along in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mightest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to remember this nameless little girl as God refers to her. Look what God calls her in verse 2. A little maid. A little maid. We might imagine that this reads an insignificant little girl. A little maid. As a matter of fact, if you're just reading this and not connecting things as you ought to connect them, you might imagine it is just an insignificant little girl. But no one's life is insignificant to God. No one. God knows you. He knows who you are. He knows all about you. He knows where you've been and where you're going. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants to be your Savior and take you to heaven with him, to be with him forever when you leave this world. He also wants to walk with you and be in you and live in you while you're here on this earth. He has a glorious plan for your life, more than you could ever imagine. God wants to use you. And I'm praying that the Spirit of God will help you to make that connection with your life and your God. Hold your place here just a moment, will you? And turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament. An expression Jesus used in Matthew chapter 10. He's teaching a great lesson, and in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. And look at the end of the verse in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 10. "And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." Of all the millions and millions and millions and millions and untold millions of birds in the world, God says not one little tiny bird ever falls to the ground without God noticing it. Do you think if God is so great that he sees even when a little bird hits the ground, that he's not looking at you and knowing all about you and everything you need and everything that's going on in your life? Surely you know that. We've taken as a theme for our church, "This One Thing I Do." This one thing I do. You can find that in Scripture if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Philippians just for a moment. "This one thing I do." When Paul was pinning these words on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." I want you to mark that expression. "This one thing I do." This great man of God is up to one thing, he says. One thing. And notice he says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." I want you to look at, please, look at the verse. Just fasten your eyes on it just for a moment. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I think this will help you. You see, we live our lives disconnected. God sees our lives connected. Let me read the verse again and show you something. Verse 13, Philippians chapter 3. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see what God connects? He connects all that's behind with everything that's before us. Behind, before. All that's past, all this is future. But God connects it. He connects it. He said, "This one thing I do." Now, with behind, I'm forgetting it. But God is using it. He connects. One more verse in this New Testament. I want you to look at Colossians, the book of Colossians. Just keep turning. You'll come to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start with verse 15. "Who is the image," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Do you believe you were created? God said all things created by him and for him. You see, a lot of people get straight the idea that we were created by him. But I want you to understand the other part of that. We're created for him. We accumulate a lot of useless things in our lives, things that lay around. And sometimes we see them lying around and we wonder what in the world we're going to use this for. My wife said a strange thing to me yesterday. She said, "I need some more coat hangers. Go throw some of your shirts away." Can you imagine? And you know, she expected me to go into my closet and pull shirts off the hangers and throw them away because she needed more coat hangers. She was saying to me, "You've got too many clothes." And I stood there and looked at the shirts hanging in that closet and I thought, "What am I going to throw away?" Now, I've got shirts in there I haven't worn in 15 years. True. I've got shirts in there I'll probably never throw away. But I'll never wear them either. But she was saying to me, "There's a lot of this stuff that's useless. I've got this beautiful orange pullover shirt that I saw one day. And about the first day I wore it, I picked it all to pieces. But it's almost Tennessee orange, almost, not quite, almost. And I've just got the idea one of these days, I'm a graduate of the University of Tennessee, one of these days I might wear that shirt again." So I took it off the rack and I looked at it and I said, "Well, I'll give her this hanger and I'll throw this one away." But No, couldn't do that. Put it back up. Then I had this white shirt that someone gave me, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, that I haven't worn 8 or 10 years. And I thought, well, one of these days I'll wear it. You wonder how many things like that you have? Not just clothes, but other things? I want you to know that God says He doesn't have anything like that. He created all things, and all things are for Him. He wants to use them. Can you think of anything more tragic than the fact that God made you and He's not getting the opportunity to do with you what He made you for? You're never going to be where God wants you to be, and you're never going to have in your heart and mind what God wants you to have until you're doing what God made you to do. That's how important you are to Him. He didn't make any stuff to be thrown away. And He didn't make anyone to be thrown away. You're precious to Him. He says that in His Word. You're precious to Him. Now, I want to go back to our story. But before we do, remember this. In Colossians chapter 1 again, and He is before all things, verse 17, and by Him all things consist. Let's say that word together. Consist. Let's try it again. Everyone. Consist. All things consist. They're all held together. They're all held together. Now I'm going to tell you the most unbelievable story as you turn back there to 2 Kings chapter 5. There was a mighty revival in the nation of Syria, the whole country. God used a man who was right next to the king. His name was Naaman. Made him famous, putting him in the Bible like this. He gives a tremendous description of him and says he was a leper. He did a miraculous thing that was talked about not only in Naaman's lifetime, but it's still being talked about hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years since then. All those miraculous things God did, make an entire nation aware of the true and living God. The message that Naaman came up with, now I know that there's only one true God, that's the God of Israel. All of that. Every mighty thing that the prophet did, every miraculous thing God did in Naaman's life, the mighty moving of God in the whole nation of Syria was all connected. And you know where the linchpin was? You know where it was all connected? Where it all started? Where it was all glued? In the life of one little girl. One little maid. Let God use her. And He did all of that. I want you to sit up in your heart and listen. I want you to know this. I don't know how you got here, where you're from, and most of you, I couldn't call you by name at this point, but I want you to know, God made you to be used like that in your life. By Him, all things consist. They're all held together. We're not just talking about this universe in which we live, but we're all people who've had every kind of circumstantial thing imaginable happen to us. And when we start thinking this one's not connected to this one and this event's not connected to this thing and this part of my life's not connected to this part of my life, we're all wrong. Because God's working. Working on us to do with us what He created us for. Let's talk just a minute about the adventures of the little maid. Would you write that down? The adventures of the little maid. The adventures of the little maid. And I want you to notice, write it down, would you? Something horrible happened in her life. Something horrible happened in her life. She was kidnapped. One day she was out minding her own business, and north of her, there came these marauding Syrian soldiers, bored, Everything they got, they earned, they got by killing and looting and going to war and doing battle. And so when they weren't fighting, they were bored to death and they just made these raids and stole and looted everything they could get their hands on. And the most terrible thing you could imagine could have happened, happened. They came swooping down like wild beasts and into a certain area. And parents looked and their daughter was gone. She's gone. They began to inquire. And as they inquired, they heard something they wished they'd never experienced and no one else had ever experienced. Their daughter had been taken by these Syrian soldiers. And just like any parents, they could just imagine all the horrible things that would have happened to a girl at the hands of these men. I want to tell you something. You're not going to go through life without some bad things happening to you. I hope and pray to God it's nothing as horrible as that. But you're not going to go through life without having to get over many things. You're going to be hurt deeply. She was hurt deeply. And the first response we have is, where in the world is God in all of this? How can God ever get in this kind of situation? But the truth of the matter is, the Lord's eyes were on her. And the next scene we see of her, she's in the household of the man responsible for the actions of the soldiers. So we see a second thing, she got over her hurt. And if you can't get over your hurt, you say, I can't get over it, you don't know what's happened to me. No, I don't, but God does. Is His grace sufficient? How far can God go? What can God do? You know, we can believe Him for some things, but can we believe Him for all things? Can we? You know, Martha and Mary said to Jesus when He got back to Bethany, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. In other words, you could heal the sick, but now we don't think you can go this far with it. But see, they had to be taught not only could He heal the sick, He can raise the dead. And all of us draw lines in our faith. We say, now I'm going to trust God for this. I'm going to trust God and believe God for this, but I don't know about this far. You say, well, God's great, He's great, He's almighty, God can do all things. It's not whether or not you and I shout and say, God can do all things. It's whether we're willing to believe that God can do all things. He is almighty God. There's nothing too great for Him. Nothing. But where have we drawn the line about what God can do in our lives? Here this girl found herself ripped out of her home, carried back to Syria, placed in the home of someone who is responsible for all the horrible things who happened to her. He's head of the soldiers. He's captain of the host. And these are His men who did this to her. But she got over her hurt. And by God's grace, you can get over yours. You give it to Jesus. He can fill you up with grace that'll cover every bad thing in your life. It's just like when He paid our sin debt. We fully owed it, but praise God, He fully paid it. There's none of it He didn't pay. He fully paid it. And His grace is always sufficient. That means it's always enough and more. We've never depleted God's resources. Never. And I'm sure when I lay down this robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars to be with God, as much as I've enjoyed doing what I've been doing for the Lord and seeing God bless, I'm positive when I meet the Lord, God's going to say to me, why didn't you let me bless you and use you like I wanted to? Why didn't you let me bless you and use you like I wanted to bless you and use you? It can't happen unless we're willing, by God's grace, to trust Him to get over our hurt. Then look at a third thing. She let God use her where she was. Right in the household where He placed her. Some people say, well, if I was in a great city somewhere, had great opportunity, or had the training, or had the education, or I had the money, or if I had the family, or I had the heritage, if I had all these things lined up for me, like other people have lined up for them, then I think I could do something. No, you're never going to do anything. You have to start where you are, letting God use you right where He puts you. Be faithful there. Some of you girls think, well, you know, one of these days I'd like to be used of God like some women have been used of God in my life. Then you be used of God as a young girl right where you are. Some of you men say, I'd like to be used of God, young men. I'd like to be used of God like the youth leader or whatever. Listen, did you start allowing God to use you right where you are? She's in the household, and she said to her mistress, to the woman of the house, when she found out Naaman was a leper, you know what most of us would have done? We'd have said, well, thank God he's a leper. Hope he dies soon. That's what he deserves after what he did for me. But she didn't. She had compassion because she dealt with her own hurt by giving it to Jesus. I don't want to go through life limping around over things I could have gotten over. I don't want to live my life as a retaliator just trying to strike back at everything people have done to me. I don't want that. I don't want to become that kind of person. Do you? You'll never make a good mommy or daddy if you do. And you'll raise miserable children if you do. So she said, I'm going to let God use me right here. Let me tell you something, lady. If he could get to the prophet of God, he could recover him of his leprosy. And by the way she said it was so convincing, they believed her. That's the amazing thing. They started telling everywhere. You know the little girl we kidnapped and brought back from Israel and brought down and put her in Naaman's house? You know Naaman, he's dying with leprosy. Do you know that little girl we kidnapped and brought back from Israel? The other day she said to Naaman's wife, if we could get Naaman to the prophet of God, he could recover him of his leprosy. And the way she said it, just the way she said it, there's something to it. She said it with such faith, with such conviction. When she talked about it, the way she talked about it, it was so meaningful. You know what? We believe her. We've told the king. It went all the way to the palace. And you know the way you and I say what we say is important, just like what we say is important. People can say, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Why don't you convince me by the way you talk about loving him, serving him, and living for him? I intend to live for God, but why don't you have some enthusiasm about it where I'm convinced you really mean it? And that's what she did. And praise God. They got a message to Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad said, well, listen, hey, let's take her up on it. Let's get him down there. And so I'm sending a letter to the king, and we're going to tell him we're sending old Naaman down, and he's going to make him whole. The king got the letter from King Ben-Hadad of Syria, and the king was so torn up about the thing, he started tearing his clothes. And the word got to Elisha that the king of Israel was tearing his clothes off himself over it. And Elisha said, well, tell the old boy not to get torn up about it. I think something can be done. And so they sent him down to Elisha. Now, Naaman was used to getting what he wanted. Remember, he was a mighty man in valor, a great soldier, but he had leprosy. And so when he came with his entourage down there to the prophet of God, he had his ideas fixed in his mind that what he's going to do is come out and raise his hand and go through some heebie-jeebie about something, and all of a sudden, I want to go back healed. Well, he came to where the prophet was residing, and the prophet didn't even go out to see him. He sent a messenger out. And the messenger just said, go tell him to dip 7 times in Jordan. See you later, alligator. That's it. Signing off now. God bless. You know what people who've had it their way need? They need to be humbled. People have been petted to death, gotten everything they want. They need to be humbled. And God was dealing with this man. And he was mad. He said, well, at least I thought he'd come out and greet me and go through this rigmarole and say something. And by the way, aren't the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, aren't they better, cleaner than that filthy Jordan? And the Bible says he was wroth. One of the preachers of yesterday said, the greatest sin in Christian's life is when we get angry and let it out of control and all the things it leads to. I wrote the exact quote down the other day when I was in England after reading it. And I thought how many times we've missed what God wanted because we just got out of control reacting wrongly. Read the story again at your leisure. And one of his men who loved him. And by the way, listen carefully. It's not always easy to approach a strong person. But one of the men who loved him, an expression was used, father. It wasn't really his father. But an expression of tenderness, showing love. Look, Captain, I love you. If he'd asked you to do some great thing, what would you have done? Is that what it would have taken? He just said, go down and dip 7 times. He was in a rage. But something happened in those moments. That's where I believe you and I need to understand that God gets in things and does things we can't explain. You say, I tried, it didn't work. Keep trying. Keep believing God. Keep pressing on. I did everything I knew to do. Well, just keep believing God. We're not just working on these things ourselves. You see, we work hard on this youth congress to try to get people here and to get groups here and to get young people here. But we don't believe that it's all us. We do our part. It's like D.L. Moody said, my human best filled with God's Spirit. My human best filled with God's Spirit. 1,000 things could have come out of what these young people did a moment ago. Not just their songs, beautifully done, but just their being here and what they did and the way they did it. There could have been many youth groups who say, I want to do that with our young people. I want to look like that and be used of God like that and sing like that. You never know. It's not just your effort. It's what God puts into your effort. And the Lord stopped the man. And aren't you glad he did? See, she let God use her where she was. You say, if I was in a great youth group, there's only 10 people in my whole youth group. Listen, then you let God use you in your 10 people youth group. I can remember when I went to Paterson, New Jersey with 2 boys. We had 2 young people in our church, 2 young people in our church. And I thought to myself, here I am 11 miles from New York City. The youth leader at the time, he was a good man, a sincere man. Honestly, he was. But believe they all needed good news for modern man. We didn't use the authorized King James Version of the Bible. And it was all right for everybody to drink wine. He talked to kids about that. And I thought, what in the world have I got myself into? You know what people need? They just need loving and leading and helping. And a firm, compassionate hand. And I can remember where I was as a boy. I grew up in a bar, and lots of other things were going on there. I had my own jukebox. I was the dance king of the county. There's a newspaper headline. I could go get it for you. Maybe someday I will. I was the dance champion of Blount County. You know what they called me? The twerp king. Isn't that a great title? The twerp king. Now, my wife never went to a dance in her life, and I recommend you don't. They say, you people, after you've done all these things, and you tell us not to do them. I know how it works. But I remember where God reached down and got me, what he could do in my life. And it wasn't some human effort. My mother's the one that paid for my dance lessons. She's the one that taught me to dance. How you like that for a good home? That's why I believe God can do something with people's lives. That's why I believe God can change people. Don't give up on people God hasn't given up on, and He hadn't given up on any of them. Just keep going. Let the Lord use you where you are. And He will. He will. And you're going to see miraculous things take place. I said, all right, Naaman. 7 times in Jordan. And I can fix my mind's eye on the bank of Jordan as they come with that entourage and horses, the Bible said their horses. And when Naaman dismounts, wonder what it had on. He was captain, had on a nice uniform, I'm sure. He got everything off he couldn't go in the water with. When he dismounted and got down in the water, he climbed in the water and, you thought I was coming, didn't you? But anyway, he climbed in the water. And they're all around the bank watching him. And they see him disappear. Underneath the water he goes, comes back up. They know he said 7 times, so they're counting. And on the 7th time, when he came up, the Bible says his flesh was as the flesh of a little child. Now that's significant. It's significant that God uses those words. Look at it, please. In verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and it was clean. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, except you be converted and become as a little child. You know what that tells us here? What he looked like on the outside? Yes. But what had happened on the inside? A strong warrior. Listen to his description again. A great man with his master, verse 1 of chapter 5. Honorable. By him the Lord had given deliverance. Mighty in valor. But a leper. There you see this strong man who could lead an army, whose heart had been turned and converted, as tender as a child. Listen, we may have hard cases, but God doesn't have any. Amen. He got saved, acknowledged the only true God, took the message of the gospel back to Syria. Everybody's shouting it out. I'm sure he wanted all his soldiers to know about the true God. And we tell the story. What a day. How God used Elisha. How God used Naaman. What a miracle that a leper gets made whole. But I'm trying to tell you something. It all happened. It all happened because God used a little girl who had been hurt beyond imagination, who was able by God's grace to get over her hurt, and let God use her right where she was. I met a big old boy out here in the parking lot a while ago coming in. I said, where are you from? I could have guessed. He said, West Virginia. I already knew that just looking at him. Nice boy. I want him in college. I'll give him a scholarship to come if he comes from West Virginia. We've got great people from West Virginia. How many of you from West Virginia? Would you raise your hand? You say, well, I'm from back there in the hills, right? Pump the sunshine in. Whatever. It doesn't make us where you came from. You say, I live under a rock. I'm suffering from vitamin B deficiency. I don't get enough light. It doesn't make a difference who you are, where you're from, what size you are, how tall or how short you are, what color your hair is, or your skin is, or your eyes are. It doesn't make any difference. When you give your life to God, He's going to do something great with you. And you're going to be on an adventure like the adventures of this little maid. I hope and pray to God that's what you'll do. That's what this youth...